Welcome to Wilhelm. I am your host, Ben Beck, and this is the second annual Oscar episode of the podcast. Last year, we did it for the first time, and we're going to continue on with the tradition of bringing some guests to make some Oscar predictions, as well as talk about some of our favorites of the Oscar-nominated films for 2023 for this year's ceremony. And I need my guests to do that. They are returning from last year's annual Oscars episode. Please welcome back to the podcast, Pink Allen and Brandy Bryant.
Woo-hoo. Yay! Woo!
If I'll be honest, I've been looking forward to this like freaking Christmas. Like, I'm so excited. Like, I had so much fun last year that I've been excited. I've been looking forward to it. Trials and messages. Like, we're doing it again this year. Please, please, please.
It was fun.
I was like watching these like, oh, I wonder who's going to pick this. Like, as I was watching it, I was super excited.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you two are the two people that I have in mind to do this every year. And I'm glad that you guys were willing to come back on, not only willing to come back on, but excited to come back on. Cause there's been a lot of good movies that came out this year. We're going to talk about some of them.
Yeah.
And I'm very interested, you know, to see where we all fall. And so we're going to do things a little differently this year. We did it a little bit last year. We made our predictions and then quickly mentioned our favorites. But this year, we're going to do both. We're going to talk for sure. For each of the 10 categories we're going to cover, we're going to mention our prediction for which movie is going to win in the category. And then we're going to mention our favorite of the category because they may differ. But before we get into that, and we're also going to keep things as spoiler-free as possible, because I know not everybody has had a chance to see all of these movies. So we're not going to dive into deep discussions about the movies. We're pretty much just going to make our predictions, maybe say loosely why, and then we'll move on to the next category. But before we do that, Paik, I know you are someone who tries their hardest to complete the full watch.
Yes, I'm a death racer.
of every movie that is nominated. So I know the answer to this already, but for the listeners at home, what is your percentage completion at this point right now?
100%. I finished last night. I managed to finally get it done. I was worried this year. This year was a little difficult. There's some like distribution stuff and some of the movies were really difficult, but I did what I had to do sometimes. I made it work. But yeah, I got 100%. Again, I didn't know if I would, but I did. So at least 2 years in a row now, I've finally done it. So that's the charm. Maybe if I'm doing this podcast, it also gives me enough oomph to get the entire list done and cross that finish line.
Yeah, there are. You mentioned the distribution issues. There are two movies this year that are in the categories that we're covering that I did not get the chance to see because of distribution issues. They either have not been put out yet for streaming or there's a possibility they might not for a while.
Yeah, I've learned a lesson for anybody who does what I do or wants to attempt to like watch everything. Next year, I'm already knowing like as soon as the nominations are announced, anything that's on that nomination list that is currently still in theaters, as soon as possible, I'm going to make like that week is like go to the theaters and watch as many of them as I can before they leave theaters and then don't get released anywhere in time for the Oscars.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Brandy, how about you? How many of the Oscar nominated films, whether they be the 10 categories that we covered or not, how far would you say you got percentage wise in the movies that you watched?
From, I will say, obviously, out of 100, I would say I probably watched about 80-90% of them for sure.
That's still a good amount.
That's good, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think it always helps that like so many are like doubled. You know what I mean? Like the categories, it's like the same movie over and over again. So I'm like, all right, this isn't too bad to watch. Like I can watch these like 50 films.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, most of them. Yeah, we got a couple movies that have multiple people in the category that were nominated, which is you know, always makes it a little easier when we're watching. I think I got about 85-87% of the way through. There's some of the smaller ones like live action short, international films that I still need to watch. And I might not get to watch them until after the Oscars, but I definitely will. I will hit that 100% mark. It probably just won't be
until
a little bit after the Oscars.
Right.
So, but with that being said, let's dive in. We're going to cover 10 categories of the Oscars this year. Those 10 categories being original score, cinematography, visual effects, animated feature film, best director, actress in a supporting role, actor in a supporting role, actress in a leading role, actor in a leading role, and then best picture. We're going to work our way up to best picture. So let's kick it off first with original score. We have the nominees, Laura Cartman for American Fiction, John Williams for Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, Robbie Robertson for Killers of the Flower Moon, Ludwig Göransson for Oppenheimer, and Jerzcan Frederick for Poor Things. Brandy, let's start with you. Give me your favorite and your prediction for winning the category.
Okay, so my favorite is Poor Things, and then I think the winner is going to be Oppenheimer.
Okay, I think that's a pretty strong choice. There's going to be a lot of Oppenheimer mention in this podcast. I have no doubt. Paik, what about you? Favorite and prediction?
Yeah, honestly, the exact same. My personal choice is Poor Things. I just love it. It's very like abstract avant-garde kind of like like sounds throughout everything, the like Bella's theme coming back. It's again, I think like last year my pick, it's the one that I can actually think of like a piece of music that returns over and over and over again that I just really connected to. And then prediction, yeah, Oppenheimer. I'm going with that as well. Without I mean, it's gonna like spoil a lot of what we're gonna have our conversations about today, but I feel like Oppenheimer is kind of going to be the everything everywhere this year and sweep a lot of stuff. So,
yeah.
Well,
it's one of the reasons why we're changing things up a little bit this year and doing the favorites too, because like you said, last year, Everything Everywhere All at Once swept almost every kind. I think actually every category it was nominated for.
Yeah.
And I feel we're going to get something similar with Oppenheimer as well, but you know, it'll be interesting to see if some of our favorites differ from that prediction as well. As for myself, original score, I did really enjoy the Poor Things score. However, I'm a massive fanboy of John Williams. So, I mean, I had to go with Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny as my favorite. It's an iconic tune. It just hits on the nostalgia. So that was my favorite. As for predicting the win, it's Oppenheimer. I mean, it's another score that I've listened to. It is in my Spotify playlist because it is an incredible score.
It's good because it mixes a very classic kind of sound with some of the playing with like Luke Nuclear. There's almost kind of like an electronic dubby kind of like whoa, that kind of mixes in with classic stuff. That it is cool. It is cool.
Yeah. So, of course, we're all on the same page then. Oppenheimer is going to be the predicted winner for original score.
Yeah.
Going next, then, into cinematography, we have the films El Conde, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. Paik, let's start with you on this one. Favorite and predicted to win.
All right. Welcome to Deja Vu. My personal choice, Poor Things. The cinematography, a lot of those really weird kind of ethereal shots and wild stuff. But then prediction, Oppenheimer.
Okay. Brandy, how about you?
I feel like a broken record. Same. My favorite was Poor Things, and then I think the winner is going to be Oppenheimer. But what I really liked about Poor Things was that how like it's so in your face with like the cinematography and the brightness and the color of certain things that like the way that it moves it felt like with it, the story moved as well with how like the lighting and all went, which was really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a little different. My favorite and predicted winner were both Oppenheimer for myself on this one. I did enjoy the cinematography of Poor Things. There's a part of me that actually really enjoyed it for Killers of the Flower Moon as well. I wanted to give a little bit of a nod to Maestro, but there's something about I enjoy films that take the risk of doing the black and white, but I don't like the films that do the standard def now. Like I feel like we're missing so much when films do that. So it kind of takes me out of it a little bit. It's one of the reasons, it's only one of the reasons why I hated the Zack Snyder cut of Justice League.
just doing standard dip for Zack Snyder. That was just an ego trip. Anyway, I'm off topic. But Oppenheimer, man, I thought it was really well done, especially considering the fact that, you know, Christopher Nolan did this all practical effects. There were no special effects mm-hmm. in this movie whatsoever. Yeah. I thought that was beautifully done and handled incredibly well with the movie. So I had to give it to Oppenheimer for both favorite and predicted winner.
Nice.
That takes us then into visual effects, where the nominees are The Creator, Godzilla Minus One, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning Part 1, and Napoleon. I'll kick us off for this mm-hmm. one, making the rounds as to go around. I had to eliminate Godzilla Minus One, only because I have no doubt it's a spectacular movie. I've heard great things. I didn't get the chance to see it. So I kind of had to eliminate that one. I couldn't give it any kind of consideration towards this one, which is sad because it might have changed up everything. My favorite for this one, only because I'm a sucker for these movies, Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning Part 1. I love action movies like this. I think they're incredibly well shot, especially the stunts. So I had to give it my favorite for that one. As for winner, predicted winner of this one, I gave the nod to The Creator. I think that's a strong contender to win with spy. Anytime you have these sci-fi kind of movies like this, you know, especially ones where you're taking a human or a robot and making them look human because they're played by a human. you know, you're hit or miss with those. And I think The Creator was a hit when it came to that. So favorite Mission Impossible, predicted winner is The Creator. Pake, how about you next? Favorite and all predicted right. winner.
I love that you mentioned The Creator. It's not my pick for favorite, but I actually saw this movie even before it was nominated. And I
did too.
Happy to see it got nominated because, yeah, it was great. But my personal pick is, again, like you kind of said with Mission Impossible, just a big fanboy, Guardians 3. Okay. Marvel stuff, that's my pick. I mean, just having, you know, these, like, cybernetic animal hybrids and all this, like, it's all in space and it's all this stuff. Like, it's so many, it's, like, all visual effects. And for it to really feel together, Marvel does a great job with that.
So so you're all about animal torture for the Oscars.
Yes. But my prediction, I'm actually gonna go, even with distribution issues and like theater stuff, it's with Toho and to finally have something as long standing as Godzilla nominated, I think Godzilla Minus One is going to get the Oscar for it.
Yeah, like I said, I'm really bummed that I didn't get the chance to see it before this because it might have changed my opinion mm-hmm. on these. So you're just bumming me out even more. especially considering that from what I'm seeing, there's a strong possibility for that movie and the other movie, which is in the next category. We may not be seeing distribution on these for a couple months.
Right.
Really?
You know, yeah, which is really bumming me out. But Brandy, let's over your way, favorite and predicted winner for the category of visual effects.
So don't tell Kristen, but my favorite was Guardians of the Galaxy. Just maybe skip that part if you're talking to her. But that was my favorite because I thought they I was sad by the ending of it, but like I thought the story in itself was really good. And, like, I believed everything that was going on. But I actually think, and I think, again, too, I am a fangirl with these movies just because I feel like they've been around for forever. I want and I think Mission Impossible is finally going to win.
Ooh, okay. All right. That's an interesting prediction that kind of, you know, I would not be upset if you are right. We'll see Scientology buying an Oscar.
Right? I know. It's like... To be honest, they're both really sad with like the stories and all and how that goes, but we're gonna give it to Tom Cruise. We're gonna throw it out there.
No love for Napoleon this category, which I thought looked good, but yeah, it just didn't blow me away.
Blew a lot of horses away though.
See? Take about the torture porn. Takes all about the animal torture for visual effects.
No, not a big fan of Napoleon.
Let's then move on to the next category, animated feature film. The categories are The Boy and the Heron, Elemental, Nimona, Robert Dreams, Robot Dreams. Who's Robert?
Robert Dreams. He's a great guy.
Robot Dreams and Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. Brandy, we're going to take it back to you to kick us off with this one. Favorite and predicted winner.
All right. So my favorite was Spider-Man. I will throw it out there that I didn't get to see the entire movie. I know you're not supposed to say that was your favorite, but from what I've seen of it, I was like, I would watch this whole movie over and over again. And then I think the winner is going to be Boy and the Heron.
So you've had the opportunity to see it.
Not the full thing, no. I've seen most of it.
So Brandy making partial predictions. It's all right.
There's no rule against it. We've never established rules with it. So that's
you're
what
right.
I'm going with.
You're right. But it's interesting because I did say there are two movies that I have not had the chance to see because of distribution. And The Boy and the Heron is the other one.
Yeah, it's the Japanese distribution is just like hard to come by. Even like digitally or. Yeah.
But Paik, how about you for animated feature film?
All right. I'm going to start with Spider-Man likely could have been both of those for me, but there's one that was a little bit more impactful that I will pick as my favorite. And then as far as for my prediction, I think Spider-Man's still a little bit too comic booky for people.
Can I make the prediction as the one that was impactful?
Sure. Yeah.
If I had to predict, it could be one of two. I'll go with my first instinct. I'm going to say Robot Dreams.
No, I did like Robot Dreams. It's interesting. I'm not going to spoil anything, but very kind of like adult oriented, like ending for an animated movie, but it was interesting. But no, so my personal favorite is actually Nimona, which I had never even heard of until these nominations. And then I went and checked it out obviously for this. And it's a really important story for what we need nowadays, but told with a lot of humor and a lot of stuff. So I enjoyed that. That's my personal pick. No prediction. Again, it's this long-standing somebody who's finally like, I mean, they've gotten nods, I believe, in the past, but it's Miyazaki. Miyazaki carries a name with him for sure. And so I am also predicting The Boy and the Heron to win.
Okay. Yeah, see, and that's the other of the two movies that I have not seen. So unfortunately, I can't say whether or not that would be my prediction to win. It could have been had I seen it, just like Godzilla. However, going with my fave and my prediction, they're both the same. Maybe this is just the fanboy in me that's speaking this. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse I was actually talking to Brandy a little bit about this before we started recording. I did not watch Spider-Man Across the Universe when it first came out. I did not watch it for the first time until last night.
Oh, wow.
I'm very regretful that I waited that long to watch it, but I'm also kind of glad that I waited and made it the last of the animated feature films because I would have been comparing everything to Spider-Man had I watched Spider-Man first. That movie I found that movie absolutely incredible. It really blew me away. My prediction and favorite is going to go to Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. But again, that could be because I just haven't seen The Boy and the Heron. That might have changed. Now, let's go into the next category. We're going into the big ones now, towards the end. Well, we're still in the first half of this, but next category is Best Director. We have Justine Triet for Anatomy of a Fall, Martin Scorsese for Killers of the Flower Moon, Christopher Nolan for Oppenheimer, Yorgos Yathmos for Poor Things. I think that's how you pronounce it. Apology, Yorgos, if you're listening and I didn't. And Jonathan Glazer for The Zone of Interest. Paik, kick us off for this one. Prediction and favorite of the category. All right.
Favorite, I think I'm going kind of an underdog one on this. But I'm going with the only woman nominated in this category here, Justine Triet, Anatomy of a Fall. I thought that it was just very well done directing wise. A lot of things were really well done about that movie. But as far as just really being able to follow this kind of linear story of what's going on and playing it from like different perspectives, bouncing back and forth, there's a lot of great director choices in there. So I'm going with Anatomy of a Fall for my pick. However, prediction, we're back on kind of the what seems to be the giant, you know, beast of this year. Yeah. And I'm going Christopher Nolan on Oppenheimer as getting the win for my prediction.
Okay. Brandy, over to you. Favorite and prediction for the category.
So my favorite was Greta Gerwig. Oh, wait, she wasn't nominated. I forgot. Nah. So I guess if I had to go with somebody else that was my favorite, I really enjoyed this movie. I thought it was really well done. And like, it's one of those movies you can't even fully talk about because it gives so much away. But I really liked John Glazer for Zone of Interest. Thought the movie was so interesting in its own right. But I do think the winner is, again, going to be Oppenheimer, Christopher Nolan.
Brandy pulling out the snubs already. And Greta Gerwig. I had to do it. I'm kind of with you. I feel like it was a pretty big snub that she was not nominated for this category. So, because, I mean, we'll talk about that as we get further on. So as for myself, I agree with you, Paik. Anatomy of a Fall was just I thought was very well done. And Zone of Interest I thought was very intriguing as well, especially from that point of history. I thought that was really a really great story. However, my favorite and my prediction are both the same for this one, and that, man, and I look back at my like love of film and I never thought I would ever say a Christopher Nolan movie was my favorite of the bunch, because I'm very hit or miss on Christopher Nolan, but I mean, it's a surefire hit with Oppenheimer for me. So I had to go with Oppenheimer for both my favorite and predicted winner of the category. Oppenheimer was the first of most of these movies I saw in theaters. And I remember just walking out of the theater being, oh, this is going to sweep the Oscars. And I think I'm still right on that prediction. But yeah, I mean, and it's hard not to give a nod to Scorsese as well, because he's an incredible director, you know, with such prestige. But yeah, Nolan's my favorite for this one and my predicted winner. So I got to go with Christopher Nolan for best director. Next category, actor in a supporting role. We have Sterling K. Brown for American Fiction, Robert De Niro for Killers of the Flower Moon, Robert Downey Jr. for Oppenheimer, Ryan Gosling for Barbie, and Mark Ruffalo for Poor Things. I'm going to kick off this one, and I'm going to say, just get it out of the way now. My prediction for the category, RDJ is going to take this one for Oppenheimer. He does put on an incredible performance. However, as much as I love RDJ, he was not my favorite of the category. It was close. My favorite of the category, and it's not Ryan Gosling. Sorry, Ryan. There's a lot of...
It's ours.
I'm just noticing there's three Marvel actors in here. No. Yeah, well, is there? No, there's two. De Niro's a DC actor. Gosling, I don't think, has done anything Marvel yet. Anyway, my favorite for this category is Sterling K. Brown from American Fiction. It is a phenomenal performance. He is just an incredible actor, no matter what he does, whether it's American Fiction or Brooklyn Nine-Nine. he's just a phenomenal actor. And for him to take on this role as the homosexual brother was just incredible. And yeah, my favorite was Sterling K. Brown for the category. Paik, over to you. Favorite and predicted winner.
All right. Well, I'll do what you did, is prediction out of the way, because it feels obvious. Robert Downey Jr. in Oppenheimer, I feel, is definitely going to get it. But for favorite, man, Sterling K. Brown was a close second for me. Because, yeah, he was incredible in that movie. Definitely, like, his character was very important to American Fiction. However, my favorite, because it just felt like something so new and so crazy and wild for this actor, Mark Ruffalo in Poor Things is my
okay.
Friend.
I knew you were
just to
say.
See him so unhinged and so whiny and so it's great. I loved what he did with that role.
Ruffalo is actually in Philly right now filming a new HBO series.
Oh, nice.
So I'm actually kind of hoping to maybe get a little time with him at some point while he's here.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna try, but we'll see if that pulls out because he's just an incredible yeah. performer. And I agree with you. To see him in that kind of role was definitely a big change.
Yeah.
But Brandy, how about you for actor in a supporting role? Prediction and favorite.
I was going to say, I feel like I just bounce off either one of you with all your stuff. We're like on the same wavelength. So obviously Robert Downey Jr. is going to win. We all know that. But I too was super surprised by Sterling K. Brown, like watching American Fiction. I don't know why I was so shocked by him, but like he has, and I won't give it away, but he has this one line on the porch that he says to his brother, his girlfriend, as he walks away. And I was just like, oh, and that, I was like, you got it for me. That whole thing is wrapped up in that.
He, you know, I mentioned Brooklyn Nine-Nine just for fun, but it's so funny because after I watched American Fiction, the first thing I did was I went back and I watched the episode The Box of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which is the only episode of Brooklyn Nine-Nine that Sterling K. Brown was in, and he got nominated for an Emmy for that episode.
Really? I
mean, you didn't know that?
No.
It's a total bottle episode. You don't need to know anything about any of the characters other than Peralta, Holt, and Sterling K. Brown's character. So if you get the chance, if you're not a Brooklyn Nine-Nine fan, just go and I forget what season it is. I think it's season 4. Just look for Brooklyn Nine-Nine, The Box. And it's a bottle episode with just those three characters. It is so good. It is such a great episode. It's funny. And Sterling K. Brown is amazing. Like I said, so much so he got nominated for guest appearance for an Emmy.
He's so good
for that episode. Moving on to the next category, we have actress in a supporting role. Nominees are Emily Blunt in Oppenheimer, Danielle Brooks for The Color Purple, America Ferrera for Barbie, Jodie Foster for Naiad, and Divine Joy Randolph for The Holdovers. Brandy, we're going to kick it off with you on this one. Favorite and prediction for the category.
So this is like my category. Like this is why I watch all these movies. I root for all these women so hard. But for me, this out of all of the categories, I think for me was like the toughest one. Like for me, these women were all so stacked and so good in like their specific roles. But if I had to pick my favorite, because I wanted them to be different, my favorite is obviously America Ferrera in Barbie. Her woman monologue just threw me to the floor and it was brilliant. And but I'm really, really, really rooting for, and I hope the winner is Divine Joy Randolph. I loved her in this.
I remember watching The Holdovers, and I kept looking at her, and I'm like, I know her from somewhere. Where the hell do I know her from? She's the detective in Only Murders in the Building. Ooh, okay. Yeah, so that's where I ended up knowing her from. But Paik. How about you, your favorite and your predicted winner for the category?
This is one of the few instances where they are one and the same. My favorite is the one that I think will win, and I'm very happy about that, and I hope it happens. Quick shout out to Danielle Brooks, though, for The Color Purple, because that was incredible. Runner-up. But yeah, Divine Joy Randolph is my pick for personal favorite and prediction to win. I'm not very familiar with her. I haven't seen Only Murders. But man, she just blew it from the very beginning. Like, again, not spoiling things with the movie, but like as soon as you realize kind of her character's connection with what's going on, I was like, damn, this is going to be an emotional like gut punch with her character. I knew something was coming. And then you get like a very emotional scene with her later on in the movie that you're like, that's right there. And I can pinpoint it of going like that, like I'll say like kitchen scene and not tell you anything else about it.
Is
being like, at that moment, I was like, and the Oscar goes too. Like, I was like, I'm ready.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm right there with you, Paik. My favorite and predicted winner. I know we said like it's going to be a big year for Oppenheimer, and no disrespect to Emily Blunt because she's fantastic in Oppenheimer, but my favorite and predicted winner for the category is also Divine Joy Randolph from The Holdovers. It is such an incredible performance. I will say the reason why I didn't pick Emily Blunt to win this one is because, again, I think she's great in Oppenheimer, but I think her moment where she really shined and I felt like she really gave a standout performance was a little too late into the movie. Mm-hmm. Whereas Divine Joy Randolph was great from start to finish and put on a stellar performance. She did such an amazing job in setting up this distraught nature to the point where when it does finally come to a culmination, as you mentioned, Peg, the kitchen scene, it is so, and then from that point until the end of the movie is just, it's amazing. So I'm really pulling for her to win the Oscar on this one.
And I just want to say too, what I love, I think she's so subtle. Like a lot of her lines is like, besides the kitchen scene and stuff, is delivered in almost the same way. Like it's not repetitive, but like, it's just normal talking, but her subtleties and her looks and her winks and her like smiles, I think also like propels her character, which I love.
Yeah. I mean, and there's, and not to spoil anything about it too, but you know, there's a scene following that kitchen scene where the three of them are outside and there's a little bit of an altercation between the two male leads. And, you know, she turns to Paul Giamatti's character and says something that's totally not about herself. You know, it's more about them. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, for this woman to be going through everything she's going through and still have this care for other people.
Yeah.
It's like, that's an incredible person. So yeah, I'm really pulling for her to win. Also so that Steve Martin and Martin Short can say, and the Oscar winning Divine Joy Randolph. in the next season of Only Murders in the Building. That takes us now into actor in a leading role. And we have for the nominees for the category, Bradley Cooper in Maestro, Colman Domingo in Rustin, Paul Giamatti in The Holdovers, Cillian Murphy in Oppenheimer, and Jeffrey Wright in American Fiction. Paik, we'll start it off with you on this one. Favorite and prediction to win.
Okay. All right, I get quick shout outs for those who just like edged out. Giamatti was great. It was fun. Part of me is like, man, I hope the best for Domingo because he paid his dues with Fear for so long and he's earned it. so Colman Domingo is a close. But for me, my personal choice, Jeffrey Wright in American Fiction. Just I love Jeffrey Wright from Westworld to What If to everything else he's done. But to see him play like this kind of character who then has to play up another character and just can switch it on and off. It's incredible. He's hilarious, but also has some really great, like heartfelt and emotional and like vulnerable moments that I think he was incredible. But then I'm going to go with the obvious on the prediction. I think it's another pin in the hat of Oppenheimer, and Cillian Murphy is going to take it.
Yeah. I get that. Brandy, how about you? Favorite and predicted winner for the category.
So my favorite is obviously Paul Giamatti for The Holdovers. And I do think the winner is going to be Cillian Murphy, but I won't be shocked if it's not. I won't be shocked if Paul Giamatti wins. Cause like they're so neck and neck with like the stuff they've already won and why they've won it. I honestly don't know who's going to be the winner in this, but I went with the obvious choice of Oppenheimer.
Okay. I said at the top of the conversation that there's one category that I feel like is the most stacked category of any category, and this is it.
Yeah.
Actor in a leading role to me is one of the most stacked categories where you have five absolutely incredible performances. Bradley Cooper, okay. I mean, the moment I... What was that?
No, I just said, okay, sorry, continue. Oh. I was listening.
Bradley Cooper, I mean, the moment I heard he was playing Leonard Bernstein, I was like, okay, he's going to get an Oscar nomination for that. Even before I even saw the movie. Paul Giamatti is absolutely amazing in The Holdovers, especially after you learn what eye to speak into. Colman Domingo, Paik, you hit the nail on the head. He went from one of the worst projects ever made in Fear the Walking Dead to being an Oscar nominated actor. And I want to say one of the biggest things I think about this category is the fact that I think Rustin is a snub for best picture.
Uh-huh.
I think Rustin deserved, I think it's an incredible movie and I think it deserved
a very good movie.
I think it deserved to be nominated for Best Picture. I mean, there's only 10 spots, but I could see one or two movies in those 10 that I would have knocked out for Rustin.
Yeah, for sure.
But however, so we'll go with the very clear, obvious prediction. I think this is Killian's year. He is going to win. However, Brandy, I do kind of agree with you. I would not be surprised if there's an upset in this category. But if there's an upset, I think it's going to go to Jeffrey Wright for American Fiction.
Really?
Yeah. I'm with Paik. That was my favorite of the category. I think he just puts on... I mean, he's in Rustin, too, which
he is.
Yeah, he puts on...
Well, that was what was funny. I made these little connections because I was like... You have Rustin, which, you know, guest stars. You have Jeffrey Wright and Coleman Domingo. Coleman Domingo is also in The Color Purple, and Jeffrey Wright then with American Fiction.
Yep.
So it's like,
yeah, there's a lot of connecting tissue when it comes to these movies. But yeah, I think Jeffrey Wright was just flipping phenomenal, man, in American Fiction. It is the one movie out of most of these movies that really surprised me as to how much I just loved the movie. So my predicted winner for the category is Cillian Murphy for Oppenheimer, but my favorite of the category, and it was close because Paul Giamatti is pretty great.
Yeah.
In the holdovers.
He's so good in that.
But Jeffrey Wright for American Fiction was my favorite. That takes us now into actress in a leading role, in which we have Annette Bening in Naiad, Lily Gladstone, Killers of the Flower Moon, Sandra Hüller, Anatomy of a Fall, Carey Mulligan in Maestro, and Emma Stone in Poor Things. And I will kick off this category. No Oppenheimer nomination for this one. So we might be in many different places for this category,
but yeah.
we will see when it comes to the end. I'll go with my favorite first. And it's a weird movie, but man, I loved her performance. Emma Stone in Poor Things was just... She's so good in anything that she does, whether it be like dramatic movies like this that are just very weird and kind of off the wall, to like Zombieland, where she's just a ton of fun.
Yeah.
So I had to give my favorite to Poor Things, although I will say Carey Mulligan in Maestro was pretty high on my list as well.
I was not a fan of Maestro, honestly, but she carried most of
that movie. Well, that's why she's
yeah.
That's kind of the reason why she's pretty high on my list, is because if it wasn't for her, I don't know if I would have enjoyed that movie as much as I did.
Yeah.
My favorite, however, for the winner of the category, or my prediction for the winner of the category, just because it was an amazing performance, Lily Gladstone, Killers of the Flower Moon. I think she's going to take the category. I think she's going to get the Oscar this time around. Paik, how about you? Predicted winner and favorite.
This one was kind of stacked for me, mostly. Like, there was a lot of great ones. Like you said, Emma Stone had such an unique and interesting performance. Annette Bening, I mean, the stuff she put herself through. I mean, a lot of it makeup and everything, but like, still, just like really put yourself into that place. And then another like connection thing. We talk about it. Sandra Hüller, by the way, lead actress in two movies that are both in the Best Picture nomination, because she was also in Zone of Interest, lead there. But my choice, my personal favorite and prediction to win, another one that's, it's the same. I'm going with Lily Gladstone.
Okay.
Killers of the Flower Moon. Just, again, I don't want to like, you know, avoid spoilers too much, but there's definitely scenes where she is, in a particular state, physically, that just some of those scenes, as hard as they are to watch, you're like, my God, that she is able to like pull that off, and like it's convincing, and you're like, oh no, this is bad. So I think she did an incredible job, and I don't know, a lot of people talk about her like it's like, oh, it's like her like big debut. I mean, she's done films and stuff before, but like this is clearly the biggest thing she has done, and she is blowing up because of it. I think she did an incredible job with something like this.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those roles too that when you're asked to be the lead in a Scorsese movie, it's like, you, one, you don't say no. Mm-hmm. No matter what your career looks like, if Scorsese asks you to be the female lead in his movie, you say yes. And you have to imagine that unless you do a horrible job, you're going to get some kind of award nomination from it. Maybe not an Oscar, but you're going to, you know, you're going to get some nominations. And she pulled it off. She was incredible. But Brandy, how about you? Favorite and predicted winner for the category.
So I will say, sometimes I think movies are maybe too smart for me, or I just didn't have anyone to like discuss them with. I know that's a weird way to start this, but my favorite actress who like for that was Emma Stone. The movie, I have a whole lot of opinions on, but I just don't think I understand him and his vision. That's what I've decided. I just don't get him, but I thought she did a really great job in the whole scheme of things. And I will say, I do think Lily Gladstone will win. I also have my own opinions on Killers of the Flower Moon. But I thought she did a very, very good job.
Okay. So your prediction is also Lily Gladstone for Killers of the Flower Moon?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That takes us into the final category. And this is the big one. This is the Best Picture category. And I'm going to say, because it's 10 movies instead of it's 10 instead of 5, if you want to, you can list two favorites for this one in addition to your predicted winner, because we all know what we're going to say for predicted winner in this category. So to kind of draw out the conversation a little bit, if you have more than one favorite other than that one, you can list it as well. But nominees for Best Picture are American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Past Lives, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest. Brandy, we're going to kick it back to you in the rotation. Your predicted winner for the category, Oppenheimer, and one or two favorites outside of that for the category for you.
You said The Holdovers, right?
I did, yes.
Okay, I was afraid that I read that wrong, and that's what I picked for my favorite, and I picked the wrong category somewhere.
I was going to say, well, now we know what one of Brandy's favorites are.
Obviously. Yeah, if you couldn't tell. So that's one of my favorites. I wish that was up like a different year than Oppenheimer. And then Go Figure as well. I actually really loved Barbie for like all that it entailed and all the moon empowerment. And like, I just thought it was such a good movie. But obviously the winner is going to be Oppenheimer.
Okay. And did you say another favorite other than The Holdovers? Or Barbie, right?
Yeah, Barbie. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't mention the snub of actress in a leading role.
No, I didn't think we should talk about it, I guess.
Paik, how about you? Predicted winner and one or two favorites for the category.
One or two favorites? I got some other like honorable mentions real fast, too, if I can. But
We've got time. Go for it.
Yeah. No, because I wanted to definitely give some, like, even though they were like overall favorites, like Anatomy of a Fall, again, because it was something very unique. Like, I heard some people being like, oh, it's just an extended CSI. And I was like, no, I was on the edge of my seat the whole time.
Heard that.
Yeah. And then Past Lives, I wanted to give a little nod to because it was such a simplistic slice of life kind of movie that really just, even though it wasn't like super happy, it also just made me feel really good. But no, my two favorites, The Holdovers, such a fun movie, such an incredible, like that might become like a Christmas movie, like rotation, like a holiday film to like return to a lot. But my personal favorite overall was American Fiction. It was just the humor, the satire, the like social commentary, but then also just some of the like very emotional moments with some of the things going on with family members and some of the storylines. I just think it hit on everything that I love, whether it's comedy, drama, things like that. It fired on all cylinders. So American Fiction is my absolute favorite, but my Oppenheimer award goes to, yeah. I mean, obviously I feel like this is Oppenheimer's year to just kind of sweep most everything.
Even though
it wasn't really a favorite of mine, but knowing how like the Academy works and how a lot of things are, I'm like, it's Oppenheimer's year.
I will say like, I just love the fact of saying like, and the Oppenheimer goes to, yeah. it's so ridiculous.
It's always so sad to me though, when it's like this huge movie like that, that like was in the theaters for like 9 months, is up against some like smaller, even though they're like huge budgeted movies, it always makes me a little sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, if it was a different year, this would be great.
Yeah. And I'm kind of with you on that too. Cause I have my favorites. And Paik, you and I are pretty much on the same wavelength. When it comes to our favorites and the predicted winner, of course, my predicted winner is going to be Oppenheimer. I think it's just going to take as many categories as it possibly can. However, my favorites, I did enjoy Oppenheimer. I will say that. I thought it was an incredible movie. It is, of movie reviews that I've done on this podcast, it is the first movie in a long time, if ever, I have given 5 out of 5 stars. So it is well deserving of the accolades that it's gotten. And I did really, really enjoy it. However, in watching some of these other movies, and Brandy, kind of with you feeling that it's not fair, some of them are going up against this juggernaut of Oppenheimer. Mm-hmm. The Holdovers is just, it is such a great movie. And I was telling Brandy this before we started recording again, too. Like, it gives me this Dead Poets Society mm-hmm. vibes. Like, there's absolute Dead Poets Society vibes in mm-hmm. in The Holdovers. You know, but also on the same note as what you said, Paik, American Fiction blew me away. Mm-hmm. How great of a movie that was, from the story it told to the performances within. It was just, I mean, you watch the trailer for that movie and you think it's just this movie about this author that has to pretend to be more ghetto mm-hmm. than he is to sell books. But when you watch the movie itself, there's so much more depth to that story in exploring family and, you know, and death and all these other things that go along with it, and deceit. And you're right, Jeffrey Wright, the movie is funny, but it's dramatic. Like, it's such an incredible movie that if I had to award the Oscar, if I personally got to do it, I'd mm-hmm. give it to American Fiction over Oppenheimer.
Mm-hmm.
I really would.
Yeah,
that's another one of
it's not the Bens or the Paiks or the Brandys. Yeah. It's like, we gotta.
That's another one of those movies. Like I said, I think I'm just, not that I'm not smart enough for it. I like was so into it, and then there's something that happens that I was like, wait, did I miss half of it? I had so many questions that I was just like, I don't know if I understood this movie or not.
You know, Paik, you did give me a good idea. Maybe next year, in addition to doing an Oscars episode, maybe next year might be the first year for the Wilhelm Awards.
Oh, there you go.
The Wilhelms. We'll have listeners nominate movies.
Oh, yeah. And so they don't even have to be the same, like, Academy-nominated movie.
Yeah, they could be anything that came out of in the year 2024. Yes.
Add more to my watch list whenever I'm doing this season.
But maybe, you know what? Maybe for next year, we'll explore that. Maybe like in January or February of next year, we'll have people, listeners, like submit their nominations for, we'll come up with some categories and have listeners submit their nominations, and we'll do an award ceremony of the Wilhelms.
I like that. It would like be really fun. Lot. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Could be a lot of fun. The Wilhelms. It's like either the Wilhelm Awards or the Wilhelms. And the Wilhelm goes too. oh, I don't have it on my soundboard right now to do it. You'd think that's a sound that should be on my soundboard constantly. They heard it in the intro of the show. It's fine. So those are the 10 biggest categories, but there's a lot of other little categories. I don't know, before we get ready to wrap things up, is there any other things that kind of stand out to either one of you that you feel like should get a little bit of attention? You know, whether that's a category we covered or it's something that we haven't yet.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm a completionist on this. Like, I have a choice and prediction for every single category, even the ones we didn't cover here, just for my own kind of thing. So, I mean, I could go over like all of those, but I'll keep them simple. I'll think some other ones with the documentaries we don't really talk about too much. Bobby Wine was like the underdog, like that I really loved as a documentary this year. I think was incredible. Didn't know anything about that going on in Uganda and stuff. But I think my prediction and win 20 Days in Mariupol is hard watch as that is very important. And I think it will also win. And then let's see, sound. I don't know how to give my reasoning for sound without spoiling too much about the movie. So I don't know, but my pick for the sound is The Zone of Interest.
Okay.
Just because okay. The sound for that movie is what makes that entire movie.
Okay. That's, I mean, it's, I don't see any fault in that reasoning at all. Mm-hmm. I think Oppenheimer is going to win for sound mm-hmm. as well. If nothing else, for the moment in the movie where they make you wait 2 to 3 minutes before hearing the explosion.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I remember being in the theater going to an advanced screening of that, and the explosion goes off and the whole theater lit up and everybody was waiting in anticipation for the boom. And then they continue on with the movie. And then 2 minutes later, you hear the boom mm-hmm. of the explosion and seeing, no lie, 85% of the theater jump. it was a jump yeah. scare in Oppenheimer, and it was
yeah that's cool. Oppenheimer is my prediction to win that, but Zone of Interest for me, that sound was critical to that movie.
I agree with you on that one too as well.
You know what category that Oppenheimer won't win? It won't win an original song because Barbie's taking it home. I'm just saying.
Wait,
can't believe
Team I'm Just Kin or Team What Was I Made For? That's the question.
No, it's absolutely going to be What Was I Made For. I just am sitting here imagining that we are going to listen to Ryan Gosling during one of the biggest award show sing I'm Just Kin. And I just don't
that know whole theater is going to feel the Kinergy.
Oh, that doesn't explain everything.
I'm just glad. I mean, look, there's definitely some, like, there's people that are complaining about, like, snubs for Barbie and, like, songs and things like that. I was actually very pleased to hear that Gosling agreed to sing the song at the Oscars.
I was surprised he did it, because, like, you could tell in the interviews he didn't think that would happen, and then as it got more and more real, he got, like, more and more faint looking that he was going to have to do that.
He didn't even think the song was going to win awards.
No, like, not at all.
I mean, there are videos and GIFs online of like his reaction when it has won at other award ceremonies.
Someone said it to him as a joke and he like laughed along with it. And then it got more and more real. And I think he got more and more scared as he did it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'll say one of the biggest snubs of the year that I hoped for earlier in the year last year. And mm-hmm. I was like, I can't wait to see this at the Oscars. And then it's not going to happen. And it's a dream that's crushed. All I wanted was to see Jack Black in a Bowser costume with a piano on that stage singing Peaches. Like, come on.
Yeah, that I could see that as being snubbed as original song. Cause that's, yeah, I could see that. Well, hey, like maybe next year's Oscars, he'll get the nomination for Hit Me Baby One More Time for Kung Fu Panda. Kung Fu Panda 4. Him and Tenacious D will be Oscar winners.
That would be amazing.
That would be fantastic. Now I want that to happen. Damn it. Him and God. Kyle Gass. Jack Black and Kyle Gass as Oscar winners for Tenacious D. That'd be amazing.
Yes. Yes.
Brandy, anything else for you that kind of like stood out? Maybe like a snub or something that just really caught your interest in something that you saw?
I was, and this doesn't track on, and first name is Greta, but I don't remember her last name. No, Robbie. I'm not saying Greta Gerwig. I'm not bringing that up again.
Oh,
it just so happens that her name is also Greta. It's the main girl from Past Lives. I was actually really shocked that she wasn't nominated.
Oh, that reminded me of another one of those, the kid. From Anatomy.
Oh,
son. Holy crap, that kid was incredible. Too.
I was actually very surprised that the guy that played Angus in The Holdovers was not nominated.
Yeah.
Because that was a great performance too. And that was his first performance.
Ever.
Yeah.
Dominic Sessa, yeah.
Yeah. That was his first ever role. So I thought it would have been nice to show him a little bit of love and give him a nomination because I thought he was great. in that. I'll tell you one of the things that kind of stood out to me in the animated short films, Letter to a Pig, I thought was really strong, and I'm kind of hoping for something to happen to that. I still need to watch 95 Senses and Our Uniform, but of the three that I watched in that category, Letter of the Pig kind of stands out.
Yeah. Or Letter 95 Senses is my pick on the animated shorts.
I still need to watch that one. So, any other final notes on this year's Oscar ceremony from anybody?
It's just funny in a good way, but it was just funny to me. I was talking to a friend about it, how long all the movies were.
A lot of long movies. Not that long,
but half of those movies were like almost 3 hours.
Yeah, there were some long ones. If I had a nickel for every 2024 Oscar nom with a scene depicting the guillotine beheading of Marie Antoinette, I'd have 10 cents, which isn't a lot, but it's crazy that there was two of them.
if I had a nickel for it. Jesus, Pig. yeah, there were some long movies. I mean, you had Oppenheimer was going on 3 hours long. Killers of the Flower Moon was up there in length. Mission Impossible was going on like 2.5 hours.
Wasn't Barbie like two?
I think Barbie's like 2.5 hours as well.
Yeah, because people were doing Barbieheimer and they were doing like all, it was like an all day thing they were doing.
It was, I freaking love the people that did Barbieheimer. Like, that's so. Yeah, I mean, if I look at, so looking at the movies by duration, Killers of the Flower Moon, 3 hours and 28 minutes. Oppenheimer was 3 hours. Mission Impossible was 2 hours, 46 minutes. Napoleon was 2 hours, 38.
Oh my God.
Indiana Jones was 2 hours, 34. Anatomy of a Fall, 2 hours, 31. Guardians of the Galaxy, 2 hours and 30.
Yeah, like everything was really long this year.
Society of Snow, 2 hours, 25. Poor Things, 2 hours, 21. Color Purple, 220. Spider-Man 220, Creator 215, Holdovers 215. Yeah, it was some long movies this year.
Oh, that was another one. Not so much a snub, I guess, but like I was sort of surprised that Fantasia wasn't nominated for The Color Purple. I thought she was really, really good.
Yeah. I mean, I enjoyed The Color Purple. It didn't blow me away. It's got, I mean, you mentioned Colman Domingo in it. Corey Hawkins is great in it as well. Fantasia, Taraji P. Henson. Like, it's got a great cast.
Yeah, I'm surprised Henson didn't get the supporting actress, but I also, Danielle Brooks getting it makes sense. She did it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, Danielle Brooks. I mean, I always see her from Orange is the New Black.
Yes,
me too. I made the mistake of watching the OG Color Purple and then watching the new one, like, back to back almost. Mm-hmm. And they're not very different movies, but they're very different movies.
Very different vibe, very different feel.
Yes, yes.
Well, the original's also not a musical.
Yeah, exactly.
True. True.
Yeah, well, that's what you meant. So, you meant by different feel.
Yeah.
So, so the Oscars are this coming Sunday, March 10th, starting at an earlier time, 7 o'clock Eastern Standard, 4 o'clock Pacific. They'll still go until 11 o'clock midnight here on the East Coast, so it's not going to matter. I think that's why they're doing the earlier time, is because they usually tend to run long.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Here on the East Coast, it always runs over into the 11 o'clock news, which really pisses a lot of people off here.
Really?
Oh, God, yeah. That. Come on. We're from the Philadelphia area, Brandy. Like, people here want their news.
They do. Even though they've watched it six times.
We need to see how many SEPTA people were murdered today.
I know. God.
And that's
for me that night. That's the news I want. Is who's winning the Oscars?
Did they add any categories this year? Because I know next year, I think it is the casting is added. Did they add any this year?
I don't think they added. I think it's the same as last year. Okay. Yeah, I think it's the same as last year. The only category, man. I've been calling for this for years. Me and I know a lot of people have been calling for this for years, especially with. Nowadays with movies like Guardians of the Galaxy and such, I want to see a motion capture category. Because it's just, it's well-deserved for some of these actors.
I think they should put stunts in. I'm always so shocked that they don't have like a stunts category.
Mm-hmm. Well, Tom Cruise would nominate himself.
Of course. And like, I know certain...
Which is fine. He deserves it.
But certain, like, they have their own, but, like, I think they deserve it. Like, that's crazy.
I would like to see a dance category.
Yeah.
you know, so that Ryan Gosling can earn some more.
Oh,
love.
My God.
Look, I'm not going to lie. I watched Barbie and I actually really enjoyed it more than I thought I would.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was thoroughly enjoyable. A very fun movie.
I thought it was incredible.
Because Barbie was great and Barbie was Margot Robbie, who wasn't nominated.
There it is.
There we go.
Just say it.
There it is. But yeah, so the Oscars this coming Sunday, March 10th, 7 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Pacific. I wrote down all of our predictions. So we're going to see who, for the categories where we didn't all pick Oppenheimer, we will see how we do, on the end of it.
Yeah.
Before we get out of here, I want to give you guys an opportunity to plug anything that you have, if you have anything at all. And if you don't, feel free to recommend something if you feel like there's something out there you want people to check out. Paik, we'll start with you. Plug away, my friend.
Yeah. If anybody feels like listening to more of me, you can go check out the Run for Your Lives podcast over on the Podcastica Network. Me and Daphne over there talk all things monster movies, creature features, disaster flicks. And we even had our own little Oscars thing as far as what fits into our, that category. So we only did two movies really this year, but we covered Society of the Snow and Nimona. Wanted to cover Godzilla Minus One. It's just not widely available enough to cover it over there yet, but we will in due time. But yeah, so if you want to go check that out, lots of great movies and stuff. I think we got Sharknado coming out this week. So
I can't believe you guys did Sharknado.
Yeah.
God damn. Such a, they are awful, awful movies. Yeah. I'll tell you a quick story about Sharknado. I don't watch, never seen any of those. I've seen Sharknado 2. And the only reason I saw that was because I went and saw it when Riff Tracks riffed it in theaters. Mm-hmm. And no lie, one of my good friends, Chris, can tell you this. I refuse to watch those movies because I think they're awful. I think they're horrible, horrible movies. They're not even B-list actors. They're like D-list actors coming together for these movies. But there's one scene in Sharknado 2 that even though they were riffing it, there's a scene where I can't remember what character it is, but they get swallowed by one of the sharks in midair. And then also at midair, they cut their way out of the shark with a chainsaw.
Oh my God.
And survive. And no lie, you can ask him because he was embarrassed of me in that moment. That in the middle of the theater, when that happened, I let out a, oh, come on. Which was like, I was like appalled. I was like, come on. Like, this is ridiculous. But I mean, I'll listen to the podcast just because you guys are covering it. Cause I think I don't have to watch the movie. I can just listen.
Nah.
I can just listen. Brandy, how about you? Anything going on that you want to promote or plug?
So it is not my work, but I'm very proud of him. It's one of my best friend's husbands. His name is Julian. He's been working for 3 years on a paper short that he directed, wrote, and literally with like paper cut out and he made. It's a 9-minute short. It's called Gruff, and it's based off of his dad and like their relationship. It's got like 5 million views or something already. But if that's something you're interested in, it's on YouTube for free. And it's under Righteous Robot. I think everybody should watch it.
That's awesome. And it makes me think of, I know it's not paper, but, Marcel the Shell.
Yeah. 100%.
A little bit with that kind of animation.
What he did like in his garage all by himself. It looks like a legitimate animated film. It's crazy. It's the most wild thing I've seen.
Has he submitted to any film festivals or
they are, or anything like but he was very much, he had worked so hard on it that he was like, there have been people that have been following since the beginning. So he didn't feel right. Like, cause sometimes festivals won't let you release it. And this was his first one. And he was like, I just want to give this sort of back to the people that like helped with the GoFundMe and all that stuff. So he just put it out there for free.
Oh, gotcha.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I was wondering,
you'll actually really like it, Ben. You'll have to watch it.
Nice. Yeah, I want to check that out because, I was wondering, but you kind of answered that. It's like, is that something that could be up for an Oscar, animated short for next year? But it depends.
I know they're sending it to as many big ones as they can that allow you to have already released it publicly.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because there is one. Considered. Yeah. There's one this year that kind of makes me around because Our Uniform is within that similar vein where the animation is like cut out, like it's like fabric and clothing and stuff that is like stop motion, like pulled together. So yeah, that's a really cool idea. I'm going to have to check that out for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll send it in like the little group chat. It's so good. But yeah, that's my little plug for my friend.
Cool. So no Wilhelm post credit on this episode, basically just because we were covering everything here. So I'll just go ahead and say, go ahead and check out wilhelmpodcast.com for all of the other podcasts. Next episode of this podcast will actually be this coming Monday, and it's going to be the release of the audio from my panel with Christy Swanson from Contropolis, New Jersey, the OG Buffy the Vampire Slayer, who was incredibly sweet. We had a great one-on-one at Contropolis, New Jersey last year. And then next week will be top five movies you will never outgrow, no matter how old you get, which was a really, really fun conversation going back and talking about some of those movies.
Aww.
Yeah, kind of brought back a lot of nostalgia talking about a lot of those movies. Other than that, make sure you follow Wilhelm on the social medias, facebook.com/Wilhelm Podcast, Instagram at Wilhelm Podcast. And I do want to give a quick shout out. I don't know if he's listening or if he'll hear this or not, but I want to give a quick shout out to my buddy Kevin Bigley, because he just submitted a movie to Santa Barbara International Film Festival called Oki that just did really well at the film festival a couple weeks ago. And in addition to that, his television show Animal Control just returned for its second season, and it just got announced that his other show Upload is going to be returning for a fourth and final season to Amazon.
Nice.
So
love Upload. So I'm glad to hear that.
I'm incredibly excited for Bigglesworth. That's his nickname. I've known Kevin since back when he did Sirens on USA, which is kind of like the first role he ever did. And him and I have been kind of buddy ever since. So I'm really proud of him. He's been getting a lot of stuff done. He's an author now. He's like, he directed the movie with his wife that I mentioned and co-wrote it with his wife. It did really well at the film festival. I hope it gets a distribution deal relatively soon. Plus with Animal Control and Upload, he's killing it. He's doing great. So big shout out to Kevin Bigley and his wife, Katie, for all their hard work. But I think that's going to wrap it up for this episode. Make sure you guys check out the Oscars on ABC, hosted by Jimmy Kimmel again, which I dig.
Yeah,
I think he does a good job.
Mm-hmm.
So any final notes from either one of you before we wrap it?
I don't think so, other than I'm gonna have to get some snacks for the Oscars. What am I gonna do? I find some like themed snacks, Society of the Snow, just get some tartar.
I should have wrapped this podcast up 2 minutes ago.
I'm sorry.
Oh my God. Can't go wrong with popcorn. I mean,
right.
Grab the popcorn, watch the ceremony, enjoy yourself. So then with that being said, thank you guys for coming back on and doing this. Hopefully we'll do this again next year for 2024. And or for the 2024 nominations, and maybe even the Wilhelms.
Yeah. Love it.
Next year, if we can put it together. But with that being said, thank you guys for listening. Thank you, as always, for being a part of this community. If you like what you hear, make sure you rate and review the podcast on, well, not make sure, but if you don't mind. I don't want to force you into anything. If you don't mind, be sure to rate and review the podcast on whatever platform you're listening on. But until next time, we'll see you guys on another episode of Wilhelm. Bye-bye.
Bye.